Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, we have Master Gardener Jan Peterzulka in the studio. Welcome back, Jan.
Thank you. Always glad to be here.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe a little bit of the rain, prepping for fall, hummingbirds. We got a whole, I don't know how much we're going to be able to fit in 14 minutes. But before we get to our topics for today, the Master Gardeners are going to be taking part in another Home Gardening in El Paso course at El Paso Community College. Tell us a little bit more.
Definitely. This is a great way to be able to learn about how to successfully garden in El Paso without having the commitment of the Master Gardener program. We just closed up that application process. We're gearing up for the class, but this is a great alternative, a great way to get a lot of information out and to the public. You sign up through EPCC, and the classes are in 2-hour intervals, and you get a different Master Gardener and a different topic each Saturday that you attend. Everything is tailored for El Paso by El Paso Master Gardeners. So I encourage you all to look into that. It's a lot of great information, a lot of great resources that you're able to take with you. Your speakers are handpicked from our speakers bureau. Great presentations and handouts and even all the slides that you want. They can certainly provide all of those for you.
So, Jan, you've taught at one of those courses
before,
right?
Yes, I teach the container gardening class. And it's about 2 hours, start to finish. We, of course, allow a lot of time for questions, and it's a lot of fun and kind of a mini Master Gardener class in some ways, you know, not near as intense. But
And everybody gets, you know, like a little flash drive with all the material on it.
Yes, exactly. Everything is loaded up at the end of the course. But yeah, definitely. So if you have a couple of hours on Saturday mornings to spare, I encourage you all to visit the EPCC. It's a non-credit class. It's one of the continuing education or personal enrichment, I believe is what it's called, section. So look out for that online, and you should be able to get those also as an insert in your weekly paper as well.
And I'll make sure to put a link to that on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Again, those home gardening in El Paso classes are Saturdays from September 10th through October 29th. Class hours are 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and the courses take place at the Valle Verde campus. So again, check out the Good to Grow page at ktep.org for information, and you can also call the radio station here for more information. We'll be happy to pass along that information. Well, some parts of El Paso got to see some rainfall earlier this week. Jan, you were saying you got about an inch.
Oh, I was out dancing in it. It was exciting. One night at midnight, slept right through it. And then the next morning, and we used the, you know, have a rain gauge and check it every morning. We had about, close to half an inch. And then later in the day, we had another half an inch. So that's, you know, like Illinois when they get, you know, 18 inches in a day. I'm exaggerating, certainly. But it was really a welcome thing for us to hear our soil just glugging it up and enjoying the moisture.
And if I recall, it was around this time, just a few years ago, that we had those huge storms that flooded El Paso.
It was 10 years ago, Norma.
2006. Yes. I can't believe it was that long ago. But of course, we all remember it, those of us who were here. So the monsoons don't really quite seem to have kicked in yet, because I know this is monsoon season, but do you know anything as to whether what the weather patterns might be, if we're actually going to be getting some of that monsoonal flow?
I don't know. Thank goodness I'm not a meteorologist. I respect meteorologists, but I just couldn't do that job. But my indicator is always looking up at the mountains. And right now, the Franklins are really dry.
Yeah.
To me, I just cringe at it, because I know that we should be greening up at around this time of the year. So what we really need to just do is be stewards of our environment and water when our times are appropriate. But please don't forget about your plants out there. They really do need that supplemental water. Mm-hmm. West Texas, our precipitation, no matter how great it is, just does not meet the demands of our plant water needs.
You know, with this cooler weather, we have seen a few hummingbirds starting to show up in our gardens. And Jan, you've got this really fantastic resource there in your hands that we can't
see
here on the radio. But
exactly.
What's it called?
It's called Hummingbird Plants of the Southwest, and it's written by Marcy Scott, who lives up north of Las Cruces, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she and her husband, Jimmy Zabriskie, are very into native plants and so forth and so on. And she is a hummingbird enthusiast and has done all sorts of research. It's a wonderful book. Very interesting. There's like 340 species of hummingbirds, most of which are in Central and South America. But there's only about 14 that frequent the desert Southwest. And even some of those we don't see too often in the city. see. People like Marcy and Jimmy are going to see some more on their property mm-hmm. because they live in a riparian area and so forth and so on. But they're phenomenal birds. I call them the aviary helicopter. They fly sideways. They fly. They're the only bird, to my knowledge, and I'm not a birder, but they fly backward, and they're very entertaining to watch. The beautiful ones that you see are the males. And
the dowdy ones are the females.
Right. And I know, I don't want to be, you know, gender specific, but I'm going to be. The males are busy courting and flirting with the females and feeding themselves because it takes a lot of energy. Their little hearts beat about 80 times per second. But if the males are courting it, they can be up to 200 beats per second, which just fascinates me. And then the women are having the babies and tending the babies and feeding the babies and feeding themselves. And they're just amazing creatures. And different ones are, you know, do different things.
And I think it's really important to be able to look at it. If anybody gets a chance to hear Marcy speak, she's so knowledgeable on hummingbirds. And she was saying that we live in such an important area in the United States because the whole El Paso, Las Cruces, Juarez area is essentially a corridor mm-hmm. for the hummingbirds' migration patterns. So she says, actually, if you put out feeders, the hummingbirds remember the locations of those feeders. So if they are out there and they come back, they'll come back every year.
Yeah, I can't even find my car in the parking lot of a supermarket.
I know, right? Exactly. But it's just so important because, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, outside of this little population area that we live in, I mean, there's just a vast desert. So I thought, gosh, we live in such an important little area.
Yeah,
you know, we really need to take care of our hummingbirds and get to really know a little bit more about them and plant all of those plants that hummingbirds are fond of to be able to keep them in our areas and keep those nectar feeders as a alternative.
Well, and these birds are pollinators, and you know, we mustn't forget that either. There's so many plants. Penstemon is one that comes to mind, the anisocanthus, you know, some of the honeysuckle, so forth and so on, that mm-hmm. I know they love my Turk's cap. Lantana, they love lantana, mm-hmm, some of the sage plants. And all of these are available in our Chihuahuan Desert Garden here at UTEP. And so I would really encourage people to take a look and realize that many of those things are plants that you can plant. They're native.
And
they're water conservators, all the things that are good, and our hummingbirds love them.
And if you're concerned about which plants you're looking at to see, like, is this a hummingbird-friendly plant or mm-hmm. not, kind of look at the shape of the flower. And those tubular flowers are going to be the ones that are going to be able mm-hmm. to be the ones that hummingbirds love the most.
Yeah, as long as they can stick their beak in it.
They're good to go.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So they have different color palettes and growth habits for your garden. But it's really those tubular flowers that are going to get you. So, and you know, they also need a nice little water source.
They do,
as well,
and it's important that you. One of the birds that we're seeing right now that is absolutely the most entertaining, and I think the most gorgeous one that frequents our area the most, is the rufous, and he's migrates farther than anybody. They're coming down from as far north as Alaska, and so he's eating constantly, and they're very territorial. You know, get out of their way because they're gonna win. But keep your feeders clean. I don't fill mine full because with the heat. The nectar that I prepare, and it's a 1-to-4
ratio.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do up 4 cups of at a time. One cup of sugar to 4 cups of boiling water. Make sure you dissolve it, but don't fill your feeder full because you're wasting that. And then, you know, just refill it more often and keep that clean because that's the health of the hummingbird. Watch out for cats.
Right.
There's not much that can catch the hummingbirds, but cats do. And also, windows are an enemy. They'll fly into the windows,
right.
and they can hurt or kill themselves with that. So,
and I don't make my own nectar for my feeders. I buy the one that's already purchased.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. But I think an important thing to remember on that is to keep it refrigerated because that's important too. You don't want to invite
bacteria
mm-hmm. to start living mm-hmm. in that. So, you know.
We wouldn't want to drink something that was full of yucky bacteria.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some people, especially, you know, north of us, like up in the Cloudcroft area and so forth. I had a friend who would go through 10 pounds of sugar a week.
Wow.
And being at her house was unbelievable because they would swarm. One friend that comes home at lunch to change the feeders, feeds them, changes them morning, noon, and night.
Oh, my goodness.
Not really changes them, but refills them because, yeah. And they are just magnificent. So they get a little bit different birds than we get here, but they're incredible creatures.
Absolutely. Well, you were telling me, Jan, you know, other than bees and keeping away from windows and cats, et cetera, you want to, well, we didn't talk about bees, but we talked about it before the show started. And you were mentioning that you had a hummingbird feeder that was sort of covered in bees. And
yes.
Bees and hummingbirds, I don't know if that's a good mix.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword because they're both wonderful pollinators, and so you don't want to drive either one off. And it, I think I had them for about 3 to 4 weeks. One of the things that Marcy Scott shared with us at her presentation was that the yellow bee guards actually attract the bees. And so those people that are very into the research about hummers have talked with the vendors about, you know, do them a different color. Hummers are attracted to red, where the bees are attracted to the yellow. And I tried to get them to share, so I hung two feeders, and because they're, you know, they're pugnacious little boogers. They're very territorial, and but they weren't real crazy about those bees. So. And eventually, the bees just all of a sudden they were gone one day. Mm. I hope they're still in my garden, but they were not hovering around the feeders. So, Mother Nature's amazing.
Well, those feeders, like you were saying, are pretty important. But is it necessary to have feeders at all if you've got a good hummingbird garden?
Not necessarily. No, the feeder is certainly a supplement.
Because I'm thinking, seasonal, you don't want to keep hummingbirds too long past what their migration period
October
is. I don't know
first.
If they're tempted to maybe want to stay behind because that's where the food is instead of continuing on and then maybe leaving a little too late and encountering.
Right. Yeah, I think their little clocks inside kind of tell them that when it's time to kind of go on forward to continue migrating. But I just think that for the overall health of the feeder and the birds themselves, I would just put them out seasonally. But I think
I think I always put mine out by April 1st and I pull it in around the end of September.
Yeah.
First week in October. And they come, the same birds, like Denise said, come back to your home. The average lifespan is like 3 to 5 years, though there are some banded hummingbirds that have been, you know, they've tracked them. They've lived up to 12 years. That's amazing.
Right.
Little tiny. And if you've ever held one in your hand, they're like, it's like holding air. There's nothing to them. They're
I'm just surprised when I actually see one sitting still on
a
branch. It's like, whoa.
Exactly.
Something like you don't see every day, a hummingbird just sitting still.
Right. Like the branch of a sotol, or I have a pecan tree out right out in front of my kitchen window, and there's a dead branch.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays there because that's where my Rufus likes to sit while he's resting. And he doesn't rest very much because they're in and out. But amazing, amazing critters.
Well, what's the name of that book again by Marcy Scott?
Hummingbird Plants of the Southwest. And it's wonderful. It tells you all about the birds. But more importantly, it tells you all about the plants that you want to plant so that you can, landscape ideas and so forth and so on. It's awesome. It's really a great one.
So
and
we'll
she's
put the
one
title
of our local people.
We'll put the title of that on our Good to Grow page in case people are interested in maybe wanting to order it online or order it in a bookstore. We will also have, obviously, a link to the audio of this program. If you wanted to listen to it again, you tuned in late. It's all on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if you have any questions for Master Gardeners about hummingbirds or plants or plant problems, give them a call at 771-2354, 771-2354. Jan Peterzelka, it's been great having you back in the studio.
Oh, thanks. I love talking about these hummers. They're my very favorites.
And we want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.